Guys, thank you for being here. It's a holiday weekend. Everybody's out late partying, I'm sure. But thank you for, regardless of how late you were out, you still came to this morning. I appreciate that. I didn't go out and party, but I was up late. I was debating. I was like, should I? Should I not? I don't know. They might need me there. So I came. I'm here. I've arrived. But thank you for being here. I really do appreciate it. As it is Halloween, I thought it would be appropriate to have a Halloween type of message. So we're going to talk about the things that go bump in the night, if we get that graphic up there, the things that go bump in the night. And so when I was a kid, I'm a very creative person, and with very creative people, they have very vivid imaginations, all right? So when you're a child and you have a very vivid imagination, when you're scared, you scare yourself with the most craziest of things. I don't know how I even came up with the stuff that scared me. I would see something and then it would add to it. And like, as I'm thinking about it more, it's like getting worse in my head. And I'm sure we've all done that in our lives. There's one thing I remember specifically. I don't know if y'all are familiar. I think it came on Fox. We didn't have cable, and so when we didn't have cable, we couldn't fast forward, couldn't do anything like that. So you pretty much had to watch what was on the TV if you wanted to keep watching whatever show, whatever commercials. There was always this commercial that came on. It's a show called Tales from the Crypt. Does that sound familiar, Tales from the Crypt? Yeah. Was it? Really? Oh, I saw it on regular TV. I don't know. We didn't have cable, so I guess it was like the leftovers, probably super edited as well, maybe. But I never watched the show, but the commercial, oh man, it always got me. It was that creepy little dude, and he had the blanket over him. And he was like a skeleton with barely any skin on. He was dark, and he'd have this nasty voice, and oh, it would come on, and I would be like, oh, I'd look away, you know, I'd be like, don't get in my head, ah. And that thing, even though I knew it wasn't real, I'm pretty sure it didn't have legs. Like, it was in a chair, like, it didn't move ever, and like, how could it even get to me? But it just ruled my mind. Like, I would close my eyes, and I could see it. I was just sure that was going to get me, especially at night. I remember this one particular time that I built like a fort in my room, and I was playing in it. Then all of a sudden, it like hit me in the head. I'm like, it could be in there. It's in there waiting on me. And I had to go get my brother, Nick. Y'all have met Nick. I had to go get Nick to come. I was like, can you just look in there? And he's like, why? Just don't ask questions. Just look in there. Even though I knew it was ridiculous. It occupied my mind. And so he would look, and he, you know, he'd figure it out, and he's like, oh, you're ridiculous. There's nothing there. That can happen. And so as a kid, I just remember being just up at night, just worried about what's under the bed. Gage is kind of hitting that age where he wants us to lay. First, it was like just because he didn't want to be alone. He likes people, doesn't want to be alone, likes to hang out. He'd make me lay in bed with him. Now it's, I try to get out of the bed. He's growing up. You know, I'm getting away with more like, okay, you're okay. Now he started the thing of, I'm scared. I'm like, what are you scared of? There's something under the bed. And I'm like, son, there's nothing. And I had to get down there and like wipe my hands under the bed and kick my foot under there. I was like, there's nothing under there, son. See, you know, and it's crazy the imagination have. So, of course, we all grow out of that for the most part, depending on what movie you see on what weekend. But we all grow out of that fear of these things that you imagine up. But there's some real things out there that keep us up at night. There's real things that make us go bump. So what do I stay up now worrying about? Taxes, mortgage payments, car payments, healthcare expenses, retirement fund, my kids' well-being. Are they sick? Are they okay? I remember the sleepless nights. We had thought we lost Gage when Hannah was pregnant, and man, I didn't sleep for weeks, you know, until we got it figured out. And even after that, I'm like, life is so fragile, and I'm terrified. And then when he was born, I literally would not go to sleep if everybody else was asleep. If Hannah was asleep at night, I stayed awake with the baby on me because I was like, I can't leave him alone. It's so precious. Their life is so, you know, delicate. And so these things that you come into adulthood that you worried about, and those are real things that scare us, the real things that go bump in the night. So we've all encountered this in our lives. We all have our little things. I'm sure if we go around the room, we can figure out what they are. And it always is kind of tied to something. It's usually with great, it's something great in our lives, something that's really good that we worry about. You know, we want a big home. We want the nice car. You know, but then the mortgage payment happens, and then the car payment happens. We want the great health care, but then that health care is expensive. Then we got to pay for it. So these things that we worry about, we want to get married. Are they going to say yes? Are they going to ask? Hannah went through that for a while. Is he going to ask me? It scared her. There's these things that we mull around. Are we going to get the job? Am I going to lose my job? These are very real things that keep us up at night, and it's usually tied to something that has great things and has great risk about it. It's something that we feel like is out of our control, and so that's why it keeps us up all night. So what is it? Think about it right now. What is it at night that keeps you up? What do you sit in your bed and you toil over? You think about it so much that you just get your blood pumping. So keep those things in your mind as we continue on in our sermon, and we're going to address them in a little bit. So, and the question is, do those things really deserve residence in your mind? That's what we're going to think about. So, we're going to pick up in Scripture in Matthew. There's a moment, and I'm sure you've heard of it, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. It's this big moment where Jesus came and he says, all right, here's some important stuff, guys. We're going to talk about this. And there's eight of them, and he included them all in there, and he directly referenced these things because he knows this is what governs people's lives. These are the things that go bump in the night for believers in this moment. Now, in this moment, I would assume that most of the crowd were already believers, probably Jewish descent, because he refers to Gentiles and things like that. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But we're going to pick up at Matthew 6, 25 through 34. If you have your app open, you can follow along or you can watch the screens. And it is the ESV. And it says, this is Jesus' words himself. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is it not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you have little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The first thing I recognized when I was doing this study is the irony of the things that they worried about. I don't know how many times we've in the car, what are we going to eat? You ever been in the car and you're like, what are we going to eat? What's happening? What am I going to wear for the day? The same issues that they dealt with 2,000 years ago and didn't have the social nuances that we have, still worried about the exact same things. So it brings new light to this that Jesus was talking to them, but he's also talking to us now. This is for then, and it's for now. So this is something that we should pay attention to. So Jesus was noticing that they were being distracted, that his people, these were believers, people that understood, they were being distracted from their lives. So he needed to bring something new in. They were not enjoying life as they should. They were worrying about these things that they really didn't need to worry about or didn't have control over. And mind you, this is a time, now we're thinking about ourselves, this is a time when they didn't have HEB you know, down the road to go get whatever their needs are. Usually our needs are at most an hour away, especially in the Houston city limits. So you can imagine the weight of what he's saying in this moment, because they had to grow what they ate. They had to spin and sew their clothes together. They had to make their, if they're drinking wine, it took a while to make. There is a process. If they wanted water, they had to travel to go get it. So even in this moment, even though how difficult it was to get the things that they were worrying about, things that are pretty easy for us, he was saying, stop worrying about it. You understand the weight of that? So even more so for us that we worry about such things. And I would imagine, this is one thing I loved about Jesus, is that this is why I'm made in his image, because he was being sarcastic, and I'm sarcastic, all right? There's some humor into this. He's like, guys, look at the lily pads. You think they're worried about what they wear? But God took care of the lily pads. They didn't have to spin or sew themselves together. God made them, and they are more intricate than you. More intricate, you know, in their design and their beauty. So why do you think that God would only worry about that and not worry about you and what's going on in your life? There's some sarcasm there. He's saying, come on, guys, you're better than this. Let's think about it. Jesus knew in this moment they needed a change of perspective. See, he's talking to believers in this moment. And a believer, this is one of the weird things about people. So he references the Gentiles, right? So when he's talking about the Gentiles, so when he's talking to people of Jewish descent, he talks about the Gentiles. Jewish are God's people. Gentiles are not. So in this moment, he's saying the Gentiles don't understand, right? They're the ones that seek after this stuff. They toil over it because they don't understand that they were designed for a purpose. They think that they're an accident. They think that they're a passenger, a stranger on this world. And so they have to force and make their way. And he's like, that's what they worry about. But even God cares about them and provides their needs. Even them, they enjoy the things of the earth. It's there and available to them. So God does care about them. So for the Gentiles and not understanding, so today, if you understand God, if you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus, this is a misconception, is that you are a passenger, a stranger to this world. You are more purposed and real to this world than the actual world, because this world was designed for you. Yeah, he created it before you, but then he created for you to have domain inside of this. So everything is for you. He put the birds in the sky for you. He created the plants to grow for you. All for you. So to think that we can't find our needs and our needs won't be met, it was all designed for you. That's a common misconception. And one of the things that they talk about, we'll talk about today, is what he's saying is worrying, in so many words, is sin. What do you mean it's sin? Let's clarify what sin is again. So sin is not an act. I know that it's playful to say things are sinful, I'm going to do something bad. It's not an act. It's not a one thing. Sin, what it means is a separation. So when we do things that separate us from God, that's sin. So sin is meaning that it's like, we're going to do this our own way. We're going to push. So when you're worrying about the things that God provides for you, Jesus is telling us you're separating yourself from your Creator. Because your Creator designed this for you. He made this for you. The things that are going bump in the night, that's keeping you awake, it's taken care of. So your worry, the things that you toil over, the things that you can't control, even the things that you can't control, you can control and don't really matter that much, they are literally separating you from your Creator. Because you're saying, that's not for me. I have to make my own way. It was designed for you. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell the people, the Jews, all the believers in this moment. We're talking about the Beatitudes. And again, this is a very important sermon. This is a Sermon on the Mount. He hit some major subjects. And it's not by accident that he hit this. Because our worry changes our perspective. So usually this is what happens. When you hit a road, when you hit something, and you're like, it feels unmovable, right? There's two things that happen. Either you change yourself to adapt to it, or you change your perspective. You accept what it is as if it's immovable. Okay? So the people in Scripture, they're taking these worries and they're hitting a wall and they're saying, these worries are what dictate me. That's not the case. He's saying, no, it's movable. You just have to change to move it. You have to stop worrying about it. And basically, in all of this, Jesus is saying in big words, stop worrying. People of that time, stop worrying because it's only separating you from the one that can solve your problems. The one that provides for you. You're separating yourself from them. So, where do you come in today? I'm going to ask you, do you know how important you are to this earth? Do you know that you are purposed to live here? That everything you see around you is designed for you? Do you know that? When you begin to open your mind's eye, you begin to see, like, wait a minute, these trees were made for me. This land that I walk in was made for me so I could walk on it. And it's all because my Creator loves me. You have freedom because Christ died for you. For you. Each and every one of us. Not a certain person, not a certain type of people, for everybody. No matter what happens in this world, no matter what you can think up or think about, it's designed for you. So why wouldn't the Creator provide what He's designed for you? Why would that happen? Why would they do that? So I ask you again, what at night, what's going bump in your head? What's keeping you up? What are the things that are haunting you? What's occupying, taking residence in here that's not welcome? That's not paying rent. These things you worry about, am I going to get the job? Am I going to lose my job? Am I going to get to eat? All that was created for you. So if you worry about it, you're separating yourself from the one that created all that for you, who can make more. He can give you more. Stop letting it take up rent in your head. It's not helping you. So it's not paying rent. It's not helping you with who you are. So let's be honest about it, really. I want you to really think about those things. What are you afraid of? And that's what it really comes down to. What is your fear built around? What are the things that, like I said, my kids. When you're a parent, your kids are things that you worry about. It keeps you up at night. I'm sure as I grow older, and Gage gets his own car, and he goes out, man, I'm going to have more sleepless nights, I'm sure. I'm going to be worrying because I fear what's going to happen to him. But the truth is I gave him to God. I dedicated to him. I couldn't even have my son if God hadn't created us with the ability to have kids. He created it for us. Gage is a part of this world. Just as God loves me and created it for me, He created it for Gage. So I can't worry. Yeah, I'm going to worry. It's going to happen. But I can't let it get so bad in my head that it separates me. Now, fear is a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing, when fear is good, it motivates us. So because I fear, I'm motivated to be a better father, to put things in place, to say that I'm not just going to let my son go wild and let him stay all night. I'm going to put rules in place. I'm going to say, hey, you got to be home at this time. You better believe I'm going to be finding my iPhone with his phone when he has it, whatever it may be. It might be iPhone 34S, whatever it is. It might put it in our brains. Who knows? But I'm going to be following him because I fear that. Now, that's protecting my son. Now, bad fear is that when I put the things in place and I can't trust my son because I'm too scared, I fear too much. When that begins to govern everything that I do, it governs my actions to where it's unhealthy, that is unhealthy fear. So those things in your life that are keeping you up, evaluate it. Is it healthy fear or is it unhealthy fear? Is it occupying your mind and going too far when it's not allowed to? So here's my challenge to you guys this week, to you personally, Evaluate those things that you worry about. For everybody, it's different, but you have things that you worry about. You're human. You want nice things. You want the better life. So there's going to be risk involved. And when there's risk involved, there is worry always to follow. Does it motivate you? When you evaluate things, does it motivate you or does it occupy you? And ultimately, stop worrying about it and let God be in control. The one who created you, who designed you, who made you who you are, you think he's just going to let you fall short? You think he's going to starve you? No. He loves you more than anything here on earth because all this was meant for you. Stop worrying. Sure, let it motivate you to do better. Great. But do not let it separate you from God. Because when we worry too much and we try to achieve it on our own, that's when we fall short. That's when we hit the wall. That's when it happens. So stop worrying and let God take control of the things that only he can control. So us as a church, what does that look like? What keeps Village Heights up at night? I know that sounds funny, but it's a real thing. As a group of people, what goes bump in the night for Village Heights? Money. That's a big one in church. Money, having enough. Attendance, are people going to show up? Effectiveness, is what we're doing in the community really effective? Or the thing is, when it's healthy or unhealthy, see, we could go very unhealthy with this fear as a church. And when that happens, typically churches begin to look inward. They begin to say, okay, how can I nitpick the little things that are going on in this church? How can I nitpick the money? How can I put every penny in every right direction? Now, I'm not saying it's not bad to keep books. That's great and all that. But if you're so worried about, do I give this $10 to the local missions or the global missions? Oh, no, what's going to happen? You know, if you're so torn up about such little things, everything goes inward, and the church loses exactly what it's supposed to be doing. The fear can make church selfish and inward-focused. And in all, what should we be doing is just keep doing what Jesus asked us to. Really cool thing, a part of this scripture, and it's kind of poetic, and you might miss it, but in its design and why he spoke it is basically just be what you're supposed to be, and Christ will take care of the rest. If Village Heights will just be the church, if we'll just love our community, the other stuff will follow. Because if we love our community and we make real relationships as we're supposed to, that means more people will come in that'll take care of money, that'll take care of attendance. And if we're focused on the right things and our purpose, we don't have to worry about our effectiveness. If we just do what we're supposed to do and not worry about those things, we will achieve what we're supposed to achieve. And it's a lot simpler, and this is a great thing, and I always say this about God, the concept is easy, but the carryout is hard. The carryout is deep. It's hard to do. He didn't want to make it confusing. He made it simple. Just do this, and it will happen. So my challenge to us as a church, help us. Help us keep our focus. Help us keep our design of what we're supposed to be. Yes, please tithe or give offerings, whatever you want to call it. Yes, please attend, and that's all great. And please help us with our effect. That's all awesome. But what is it really to you? What is it in your heart? Are you doing this for the right reasons, or are you worried about, kind of like what I talked about last week, are you worried about if God's going to be angry if you don't do it? That's not the case. If you do it for the right reasons and you do it in love, and we love this community, Christ will take care of the rest. And that's an awesome thing. Sometimes it's a vulnerable thing to do, and it's a little scary. That's the beauty and the power of Christ and what he does for us. So help me do that. That's my challenge. Help us keep focused. If I lose focus, please snap your fingers in my face and say, hey, pay attention. I'm human. I get distracted. Hannah constantly has to like, hey, let's go this. We're going this way. We're going this way, you know. Don't get lost on this rabbit trail. We're going this way. So help me. Help us be what we're supposed to be. I love you guys. I thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for being a part, because it is a magical thing to see Christ do what he does. All we have to do is do what he tells us, and all this magical stuff happens. All these amazing things happen. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, I thank you so much for today. Lord, we're human. We're going to have fear. That's going to happen. But thank you for conquering fear for us, Father. Lord, Jesus, you did it. You did the imaginable thing. You did the awesome thing. You went to hell, death, the grave, all that, and conquered it for us. Thank you so much. Lord, help us with our fears. Lord, those things that go bump in those nights, those real dangers, not something that we've made up, not something that we've imagined, Lord, but there's real things in our lives that have justification to worry about. But Lord, let's not let it occupy our minds. Help us see what those things are and help us see when we're going overboard, when we're worrying too much to the point where it's separating us from the one that can help us. Help us see that. Help us be sensitive to those things. Lord, I pray that you put people in our lives, Lord, that can shed light on this stuff, to shed light when we're worrying too much, to say, hey, maybe you should trust God a little more. Maybe you should not worry about it so much. Help us keep on track, Lord. Help us be that. Lord, bless Village Heights in our efforts. Lord, help us never to lose focus on what we're meant here to do, that we don't get lost in the details and start worrying and become ineffective. Lord, we want to keep loving this community and being as effective as possible and showing the community that we love them and creating relationships with them. Lord, thank you for these awesome people. Lord, on this weekend, keep us all safe. Lord, as we go out trick-or-treating and we celebrate and get all candy, all that great fun, but Lord, keep us safe as we go. Keep all the kids safe and everything like that. Lord, we love you. Bless this day and bless these people. In your name we pray. Amen.